We're going to be speaking. My next guest is Chris West. We're talking Words of the Year, and we're talking about strong language. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Giles. How are you?
I'm very well.
Bar humbug.
Bar humbug. I couldn't add the great Alan Rickman. I mean, I'm sorry. I have to have that because his performance in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, was an absolute show stealer. In fact, everything he ever did was brilliant. And he was a man who had a way with words, somewhat like you do yourself, Chris.
Well, I mean, language surrounds us all the time. How can you say that to me? You're on air. Who knows what's going to come out of your mouth?
This is true.
Somehow it seems to work
most of the time.
So yeah, we're all people of words. That's what made, you know, there is a theory that what made humans the most successful species wasn't that we had bigger brains than the Neanderthals or anyone else, but our smaller brains had a capacity for language, and that meant that any dumb idea, or maybe occasionally good idea, that I had could be shared with you, could be shared with 100,000 people, whoever in our tribe, and so that idea would be amplified by language. So yeah, we're language animals.
That's an interesting one, because you think, okay, well, If it's our communication skills that has put us on ahead of perhaps, I don't know, the blue whales or something, or dolphins or whatever you want to say, or, yeah, you know, or the collective mind of a, you know, a colony of ants, or let's, you know, whatever. I mean, it's an interesting one that the ability to express quickly and succinctly has led to us being the dominant species on the planet, or most of us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a couple of things. Most of us.
Exactly. It's after about 3 or 4 coffees in my case. But
yeah. Yeah. It doesn't, I don't feel my superior status to at least after 1 p.m. every day. So, but I mean, that's the thing, right? So we know that language can work very, very well. Like, you know, our ancestors, if they heard a roar in the, you know, tall grass around us, would have been able to shout lion, and we would have all been able to make a decision what to do. So in small ways, in big ways, I think language shares ideas and it builds relationships. You know, TRE has a great relationship with people that listen. I listen when I'm in New York, and, you know, I love it. And it's the language that you're using that's building the relationship and is sharing the ideas of what we're all about.
So tell us a little bit about then strong language, because this is something that you've put together recently, and I thought, oh blimey, we're going to be talking about Anglo-Saxon words, should we say, strong words, but it's not that. It's about oh look, you just perked up when I said that, didn't you? Why are you grinning?
Well,
Chris,
I wouldn't mind talking about some Anglo-Saxon words, but you'd probably have to do that a bit later.
Yeah, exactly.
Could turn the air blue. No, strong language. So my business is called Verbal Identity, and it's based in Oxford and London, back in the UK. And we help businesses use language better. So we've been doing this for 10 years. And really, if you're, I'm going to use you as an example, excuse me, but if you're a DJ, you're good
radio
with
presenter,
words.
Please, Chris. Thank
well,
you.
I don't excuse do the wheels. Us. Excuse us.
I don't do the wheels of steel. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. But if you're an esteemed radio presenter, then you're good with language. You know, naturally, you're good with language. Now, the CEO, the leader of a business, they're probably good with language as well, because they've got to the top for a reason, which is they're able to influence people. And the best way of influencing people isn't the stick. You know, it's language, and it's verbal, and it's persuading them. So all businesses are using language. And for the last 10 years, we've been helping businesses create a voice for themselves in a, you know, a distinctive voice for themselves that everyone can recognize. So most, you know, if you've got a favorite company, it could be a sportswear company, could be a beer brand, could be a car brand. As soon as you see them, even in a kind of eighth of a second, the way their ad is laid out or their website is laid out, the colors they use, the photography they use, the typeface they use, all of that tells you instantly that's who they are, because that's consistent and it's distinctive. But most businesses haven't thought that they can be as distinctive and consistent with their language. So that's what we've been doing for 10 years. We've been helping family-led businesses. We've been helping professional services firms. We've been helping big businesses out of Silicon Valley, startups, all of them create a distinctive voice for their brand. And so that's why my business is called Verbal Identity. And that's why the book, which was published in September, was called Strong Language, because I think that everyone's language can be stronger, more effective.
And one of the things you've got to keep away from then is when you're setting yourself up is, you know, the biggest mistake you can make is getting into copying what everybody else does. I mean, I used to work back in the UK in the 90s on B2B publishing, business to business publishing. And I did it was a property magazine. It was a commercial property magazine. And I used to get from literally in the old days, big lump of envelopes on my desk, because it was, you know, this is pre-internet, kids, and I would go through them, and you'd have like 15 a day from all different, from real estate agencies, from town councils, from whatever, and they would all sound the same, because that's what they think they have to do.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a reason why we embrace radio stations, the best radio stations, why we allow them into our car, why we allow them into the bathroom in the morning when we don't want anyone else to see us. It's because they're distinctive, they're human, often friendly, but not always, but you know. And what the best radio stations like TRE do is they create this kind of humanity, this distinctive personality and a definite feeling of humanity. And it's kind of all right to have you in my left ear whilst I'm cleaning my teeth with my right hand. Now, you're quite right. Most businesses, they say, well, we have to sound like everyone else. We have to sound like Joe Biggs and Son, professional lawyers to the accountancy industry, whatever it is. You know, we have to sound like them because they're professional. Well, they sounded like them for some reason 20 years ago, because possibly that was the founder. He was, or she was, very distinctive in the way they spoke. And that's become the default. In fact, there's a good example of this I've just suddenly thought about, which is when you're flying, all pilots basically sound the same. They're all very laid back, all quiet. No voice. Hi, this is your pilot speaking. We'll be flying. Da, da, da. And even if there's a crisis, they'll say, I've put the seatbelt lights on now because both engines have fallen off and this is going to look very serious. There's a great book called, the name's forgotten me. But basically, that way of speaking, that low tone, very measured, very paced, was started by Chuck Yeager in the space program in the 60s because all the pilots kind of copied him because that seemed like the way to speak. And now apparently all the pilots are, even though they don't recognizing it, are echoing what was set up 30 years ago.
But you want that. If you're anything like that, you want it cool and calm and collected, because the psychology of the words, psychology of the voice, if you had a captain come and go, hey, anyway, hey, you know, you don't want, because some people are...
I'd be off the plane.
Exactly.
I'd be straight out the door.
And funnily enough, what's made me smile about that is the fact that I interviewed a very well-known journalist called Morris Hamilton, who's done a biography on Murray Walker, the great commentator, and a little known fact is that Murray Walker was a tank commander during the Second World War. And can you imagine what it must have been like being Murray Walker's crew with Murray? Because Murray had a very distinctive, hopefully he was different in combat than he was during commentating. But it is true. If you hear that tone of voice, the same with the advertising for banks, you know, if you go back a certain amount of time, Liam McCurl was the voice of Lloyd's Bank, the blank, very sort of, because you want your finance, you want the traditional businesses, you want to sound as if they have their foundations and therefore your money rock solid.
Up until a point, of course, you know, when we needed to feel comfortable and it, you know, who did I go and bank with? I went and banked with who my parents banked with. They introduced me, you know, they took me along and they said, this is my son, can you, and that was, you know, so there was a sense of consistency. But what we've seen in the last 10 years is all the challenger banks, you know, all those credit card based banks, all those banks doing different things, no transaction fees when you're abroad, all that. And they have a totally different tone of voice. You know, if you land on their website, I'm going to avoid saying who it is, but if you land on their website, it's not 100 words of copy explaining we're 200 years old. It's 8 words. Look up, you know, we'll help you look after your money. Boom, 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 done.
In this interactive social media, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat sort of society in which we live, and I'm talking about the youth, i.e., you know, somebody a couple of years younger than, even though we're in our mid-20s, Chris, obviously, because people say, oh, well, they just look at the pictures, but perhaps now having concise copy and grabbing the attention is even more important now than it was 10 years, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are more channels than ever before, just as you said. And even on those channels like Snap and TikTok, there's still a huge role for language. You know, and for a business, if you think about it, yes, you've got your external communications, but you've also got your customer service channel. So we worked with a large car brand in the UK, and the marketing director said, Chris, you see those 9 people waiting to come in to my office after you? That's the head of my advertising agency, the head of my CRM agency, the head of my brochure agency, the head of this, the head of that. He had about 500 writers in their agencies writing for him. So language is more important every day. But going back to the other thing you said, which is people do look at the pictures. You know, visually, that's the fastest way to get into someone's head. But we have an expression which is visuals attract, verbals engage. So yeah, you want someone to see something and go, hey, what's that? But then what you want them to do is go, so what's the story? And you can see it in a shopping aisle, in a supermarket aisle sometimes. If someone's got a beautiful piece of packaging and it's a new product, you can watch it. They'll walk down the aisle and they'll stop. You know, their eyes will suddenly be glued and they'll reach out to this packaging. And what's the first thing they do? They lift it off the shelf, then turn it round to read what the story is on the back of it. Same in art galleries. You know, you can go into the Claw Gallery in London. You can see this amazing Turner. Oh, my goodness. You know, it blows your mind. People walk into the gallery 20 yards away, stopped in their tracks. And they walk up to it. And they look. And the first thing they do is their eyes slide to the right. They bend down. And they start reading what the curator has said about the picture. So, you know, that's it. Visuals attract, but verbals engage.
And we're talking about, you know, copying and words that attract. I mean, are there any sort of words that repel, for example? Can you get so far into management speak or advertising speak that you actually people think, oh, this is far too. I mean, I'm not going to use the woke word, but you know what I mean? You know, everything's organic. Everything's, you know, 100% natural fibers from Peruvian, I don't know, mouse farmers in the hills of the Andes or something.
Yeah, and you know, if you follow the business news, then everyone's talking about the pivot. You know, we've pivoted to this, we've pivoted to that. And if you sit in a meeting, which, you know, whether that's on
Blue Sky Thinking, that's my one. Blue Sky Thinking.
Oh, Blue Sky, there you go, Blue Sky Thinking. You know, we need some Blue Sky Thinking if we're really going to think outside of the box, you know, in order to pivot the company to deliver a more holistic message to our
Translation, we did not have a clue, yes.
Yeah. Basically, we did not have a clue. I mean, there's something in there, which is you go to a doctor and one doctor talking to another would talk about, you know, suboptimal hematomas, whatever it is, which you and I would say that's a black eye, isn't it? Yeah, well, it is. But, you know, the doctor needs to say it to the doctor with a certain amount of precision. And I think if we're going to excuse business language, then what we hope for is that business users are kind of striving for a bit of precision. But what we've noticed is there are some businesses that really knock it out of the park, that just win disproportionately through language. So I don't know if you still have milk in your coffee in the morning or...
That's the work of Satan. Coffee should be black as my soul and as strong as whatever as well. So no, I don't put milk in coffee till at least 12 o'clock. And then people get very worried, in fact, but there you go.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, is it milk or is it... And this, so if that's your approach to coffee...
I mean, that's theoretically, shall we say, Chris, if I were to put milk...
I know what the answer to the next question is. Are you still drinking milk or have you switched to oat milk?
No, I'm still drinking. No. I'm still drinking. When I have milk, I always have
milk. You have milk. Okay. Now, there are some people, I call them dairy dodgers, and I can call them that because I'm a dairy dodger. I'm a dairy dodger myself.
Right, okay.
I don't have milk anymore for various reasons. But for the people like us, they are looking for oat milk. And oat milk kind of looks like milk. Does it taste like milk? No, not really, but it will do its job in, it will do a kind of job in coffee in the morning. Now, there are two brands, two pretty well-known brands. Now, because they're oats in water, I've never met anyone that can taste the difference, because they're oats in water, right? It's oats and it's water. They're going to taste the same. Not only do they taste the same, they're sold in exactly the same packaging, these kind of Tetra Pak packaging, and they're sold in the same place, literally shoulder to shoulder in the chiller cabinet. Now, one of those brands, and I won't say which one it is valued at 12 million UK. And the other one floated on the New York Stock Exchange this year for 13 billion US dollars. It's a huge difference. If you can't, if you combine them in the same place and they're in the same packaging and they taste exactly the same, what's the big difference? And the big difference is that the more successful, the more highly valued one has this amazing language. You can see people lean in, they start reading. It's got this big campaign about being anti-dairy. It's got this strong personality, and just the little words they use here and there are really fantastic. And I think that's what we're seeing now more and more, because there are more channels, because there are more brands launching, then businesses have to be smarter with language. And so, yeah.
I mean, the other thing is the fact that when you're doing something like this in such a, because the market has changed the way we consume, you know, we're children of the 70s, you know, my mom's went to the supermarket, they just bought condensed milk, the whole list. We'll keep going on the dairy or the milk theme anyway.
Yeah.
But that was the kind of thing. And now there's nobody thought about the wider aspects on the planet or the whole bits and pieces, because in the 70s, you bought into the consumer thing. It was the 70s lifestyle. You get your lava lamp, you know, you had your Austin Allegro in or whatever, you got back to see the new professionals on TV or whatever, and that was a lifestyle they bought into. Now, in this caring sort of roaring 20s lifestyle that we lead in today, people want to be seen as putting something back to the planet, and if you can capture them with those words and make them think that they are contributing to the welfare of the planet and it appeals to their lifestyle, that's why you're floating for several billion on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we don't look for products just for what they do anymore. We look for what they say about us and our approach to life. And, you know, if we're concerned, then we say we want this for the planet. And actually, the best brands really come with a very, very strong worldview. This is the world we want to create. So to be a little bit shocking, there's a chocolate brand which is identified that still a lot of the chocolate supply chain depends on child slavery, which is awful. I mean, it's truly awful. So this chocolate brand has come out and said, and has announced this, and they've said we scrupulously monitor every stage of our supply chain so that there is no child slavery. So they've got this wonderful worldview. This is the world we want to create. And so therefore we stand for this and we stand against that. And if you like, that's an overarching narrative to the best kind of business voices, brand voices. And you come down a level, and you come down a level from that, say, 10,000 foot, you come down to 1,000 foot, and then you've got to express it in a personality. Now, they could be really harsh, really confrontational. What the hell are you doing? Da, da, da. Actually, they're slightly more considered. They said, you know, for whatever reason, this existed. So their personality, if you bump into them, you would imagine is carefully considered. So they've got 10,000 foot, 1,000 foot. And then all the best business voices, brand voices have 10,000 foot, 1,000 foot, and ground level, where they pay particular attention to the words or even the grammar choices. And that's what we think makes the best business voices.
And it used to be about being, you know, knowing your market. But in this instance, perhaps, and especially with strong language, it's knowing yourself. Because if you say to everybody, this is what we do, we're different, we don't engage in these practices, we stand for that, rather than trying to be as slick as your competitor and just saying, we're different, but embrace the difference, perhaps that's the strongest language that you can use, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that we've all got a great friend who is absolutely, you know, very well defined as who they are. We don't have to agree with them all the time, but you know, they are so clear on who they are and what they stand for. And as a consequence, their voice is really clear. And I think businesses can learn from that as well. Just understand, no one wants the same as everyone else. Everyone wants to know, why am I going to buy from you? Or why am I going to hire you as a lawyer? Or why am I going to, you know, and it's the humanity and the worldview that comes out in the language that really persuades people.
So if we've got somebody who's just setting up their own business, perhaps they've got a retail unit, perhaps they're just, you know, getting underway, what would you, I mean, apart from rushing out to get your book, obviously,
Do you mean the book Strong Language, that's available online?
Yeah, that's the one, yes. Yeah. So funny to drop that in there. But, you know, what would you say, to look at before you sally forth with your dictionary in one hand and your thesaurus in the other?
Be you. I think that's it, right? Be you. Talk in all your business communications like you would to a friend, because that's what people are going to buy from you in the end. If you look at the number of followers of Tim Cook, who's head of Apple, compared to the number of followers for Apple itself on all the social media channels, he's got 3 times as many followers as his business does. Humanity wins. So whether you're writing a sign on the front of the store, whether you're writing an email to potential customers, whether you're kind of building it and you're putting all your manual, whatever it is, be you and be clear, because that's what people are going to buy into.
The book is called, should you, and I advise you, rush off and get it. You can't miss it. It's got a massive exclamation mark and yes, I can see it, Chris. Like, Chris is on Zoom with me. He's holding it up. I'm looking at it on this screen as well, my friend. Don't worry. It's got an exclamation, but it's a boxing glove as the point. It's called Strong Language, the fastest, smartest, cheapest marketing tool you're not using. It's by Chris Westwood, who we've been speaking to today. Chris, if people want to find you online, are you on the Insta? Don't tell me there's not a Chris West TikTok site, but do you do the social media and the website?
There is not a TikTok website. There is not a TikTok site yet. I'm glad to say, actually, because that would just be too much.
Yeah.
No, www.verbalidentity.com. I said that to someone once and they said gerbil identity. Why do gerbils need? No, gerbils don't need
rodents. Identity. Honestly, rodents of the world unite.
Yeah, rodents of the world unite, and then we'll see what happens. So www.verbalidentity.com, or if you use LinkedIn, I've got one of those names which is pretty common, so go on to LinkedIn and look for Chris West, Verbal Identity.
The book is called Strong Language. It's by Chris West. Chris, have a great weekend and a festive season, and Merry Christmas and all that, but it's been great speaking to you today. Take care. Chris West, have a great day.
Thank you.